going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready to be done with the magic, Keith?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to be done with the magic. Celtics aren't, though. You know what? I think I may owe an apology to the Magic. The Magic might be a little bit tougher than I thought.
Oh, we're familiar tough with their game?
They're tough.
They are tough.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm the Shaquille O'Neal meme.
We might not have been fully
Orlando
familiar.
I was not familiar with your game.
That is very possible. No,
they're tough. They're frisky. They're more frisky than I had given them credit for. I thought that was...
If we were going to redo our tiers, frisky for sure.
I thought it was a 1.5-man team, and I was like, all right, you can only go so far with 1.5 guys in the NBA, and all those other guys... They're scrappy. They're scrappy guys. This should have been a sweep. It's not. It'll be a gentleman's sweep, which is fine. But the series should have been over. But you know, whatever.
I would be ready to get this team out of my face if I was the Celtics. Mm-hmm. Like, there's enough antics and enough crap that's coming along with it. Where I would be ready to be all done.
I think
with
Al
this
Horford's
team.
Done with them. Horford's had enough.
I think Al Horford, though. Al Horford overreacting to like a little nudge
weird
from
stuff.
Wendell Carter.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just bothered by the whole team.
Yeah, the Magic are a little... Not that the Magic are going to beat them.
No.
Don't misconstrue what I'm about to say. But the Magic are a little in their heads. They're overreacting to stuff that normally wouldn't bother them. Mm-hmm. And, right, Al Horford has snapped a couple of times. Like, that never happens.
Yeah, yeah.
The Magic,
they're under his skin.
The Magic are under their skin, bothering them in their heads a little bit. Now, the Celtics are going to beat them.
Yes.
I'm surprised it's not already over.
Same.
But it's time to get this team out of your face. With the Celtics getting the win last night, 107-98, in Orlando, a game that was, as you heard there, tied with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, yeah.
There was
clutch moments in this game.
So the Celtics are up 3-1, and you can jump in on this all day long, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line. Interact Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. You can watch and chat on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And just watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. We'll get to the draft. We'll get to Bill Belichick, that awkward interview.
Holy mackerel.
We'll get to Shedeur Sanders sliding. A lot of stuff to get to on the show. But the Celtics are up 3-1, and I'm a little unimpressed with how they've played. It doesn't mean they're not the favorites in some corners, because I would say the same thing about OKC. OKC's done with the Grizzlies. I wasn't overly impressed with Oklahoma City.
They had that first game where they won by 100 points, and then after that...
Then they were down 29 in game three. Game four was close. Like, I would say the exact same thing about OKC, so I don't think I'm being inconsistent here. I thought the Celtics would roll over this team, and somehow, some way, they lost game three in Orlando. They were tied with the Magic last night with 4 minutes to go. I'm just a little underwhelmed by how the Celtics have played, and some of that is their own doing.
Yeah.
Some of that is the Magic's doing. Magic have roughed them up. Porzingis has needed stitches. Tatum got knocked out for a game. Brown's been dealing with stuff. Holiday is missing games. Like, Porzingis was in and out last night, somewhat due to foul trouble, somewhat due to, I think, another lingering injury. So some of it's the Celtics doing, some of it's the Magic's doing, and I just... They're up 3-1. I thought they would look more dominant than they have, would be my big takeaway.
No, so did I. And I thought the series would be over, and I think it will be after game five. But You went through all the different guys that have missed time, and I think it just stands out once again how important Drew Holiday is to the team. Drew Holiday's numbers aren't going to jump out at you, but you saw it last year during the whole playoff run, what a calming influence he is and what a veteran guy that you can rely on, sort of settle everything down. There were series last year that they won in five games, but they were really close games, and he was a big factor into why they won. I mean, I thought he could have been Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was so good. So missing Drew Holiday these two games, I think that has stood out to me.
Yeah, I mean, they won relatively easily in the first two games, right? They were down at halftime in game one. Game three was a little closer down the stretch than you want.
Similar scripts, yeah.
But it was easier with Holiday, no doubt about it. So they miss him. And Holiday, it looked like all year long, we're going, man, he's been underwhelming. Man, you haven't gotten the best out of Drew Holiday, the same guy we saw in the playoffs. Can he flip the switch? I think we both gave him the benefit of the doubt, Keith.
Right.
And then the playoffs came, and you're like, he did flip the switch. That's exactly what we thought he was going to do. That's what the Celtics needed out of him. And so, yeah, they miss him for sure. And they're good enough to overcome an injury to a guy like Drew Holiday. I mean, they're good enough to overcome an injury to a guy like Jason Tatum and win game two. I just thought the Celtics would look a little more dominant. And some of this, I wonder if it is matchup specific.
Yeah.
They've been run off the three-point line. Like, completely, totally run off the three-point line.
True.
And it's frustrating them on offense. I mean, it is. And I thought they had a good adjustment last night. I don't know if you were watching on NBC Sports Boston or on TNT. I was watching Stan Van on TNT last night. And he highlighted this early on in the game. They made an adjustment. They had Porzingis running to the rim. They made Porzingis more of an impact player around the rim. And that was an adjustment to game three, where they shot 9 out of 27 in that game from three. They were worse last night, 9 out of 31. And so they're only making 9. The attempts are way down. This is not the way the Celtics want to play basketball. Now, in the long term, you could spin it and say it'll be a good thing for them. They have to find other ways to win. They can prove they have other ways to win. They can win ugly. I would add ... against a team like Orlando.
Right.
But they were proving that. They did prove that last night, if you want to spin it positive. The Magic are frustrating them with their antics and the way they're playing defense.
Yeah, and the way this game was sort of trending in... It was pretty low scoring. The Celtics ended up breaking 100, but it was kind of playing into the hands, sort of like the game three formula, which Orlando needed. And maybe the most shocking stat of the entire night was Celtics had one more three made, one more three attempted. This was going into the series. We were talking about how that number was going to stand out because Celtics led the league in makes and attempts, league record. The Magic dead last in makes and attempts. So you're like, all right, that is going to be a big swing. Like, there might be 20 extra points on a given night just from threes, right? I think the average, was going to tell you, there's like 6 or 7 more made threes on an average night, and you had a three-point advantage. That was really surprising, and it was a numbers game, and, you know, Mazzulla will get into the math and the stats and all that stuff and, like, how many shots you need to take and how quickly you need to take them and all this other stuff. The Magic had 10 more field goal attempts, which I'm sure is keeping Mazzulla up at night. Like, he just wants shots. He wants obviously open shots, but he just wants shots. And the fact that Orlando, with their offense, which is Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, and then Prey, they had a more efficient offense, essentially.
And it disappears, right? Yeah, like, Orlando, to me, shot horribly last night.
Well, they did.
They did, but they weren't even any worse than the Celtics from three.
It was like a wash.
8 out of 30 to 9 out of 31, they were the same. So, like, it felt like the Celtics shot better to me.
Yeah,
but then you look at it, and it was basically a total wash. So Orlando's frustrating them. And I wondered this going in, it just from a pure physicality standpoint, like, the Magic getting into them, they had to muck it up. It's the only way they can win. It's the only way they can make it a series. And they won game three, so credit to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wondered if the series would leave a mark in that way or be a blueprint for other teams. We talked about this last week, Keith.
Yeah.
I wondered from that standpoint, can other teams muck it up, be physical, rattle the Celtics' cages in that way? I wonder, and this might be more of a matchup thing, the way the Magic switch, the way they play defense, the way they're not going to double team and they're not going to leave open shooters. They're not going to do that. They're going to let Porzingis roll to the rim and dunk because they'd rather give up the two than the three. That's how they're going to play. I don't know if other teams are going to play it that way, but I wonder if teams take note to how Orlando is defending the Celtics. Not just the physicality, mixing it up, agitating.
Right.
Not just that, which I think is important, but the way the Magic play defense, I wonder if other teams are taking note of that.
Yeah, probably. I think Orlando's better suited than other teams to do it. Like, that is their personnel,
so
can
like
do
the,
it.
The Knicks,
yeah,
are next.
The Knicks.
Can the Knicks do that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, Brunson's small. Carl Anthony Towns is not the most physical guy in the world. So they could try it. I think what they need to hope for is that Drew Holiday's out. Like, that might be, you know, one step in the right direction. Or Tatum's wrist or Brown's knee barks back up, which are all possibilities at this point. That's probably what the Knicks are banking on.
So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. How about this one, Keith, on the text line? The league should be ashamed of themselves for allowing these kind of antics to occur. Players are getting injured due to the play that the Orlando Magic are doing. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. Keith? I disagree. I think there's been flagrant...
Shame.
There's been flagrants called in the series, but I don't even know how many of them should be.
I can't believe they reviewed the Wendell Carter one. I can't believe they reviewed that. I thought that the technical fouls they handed out last night, the matching technicals between Tatum and KCP, I thought were a joke. And so, look, I don't even think the play that Tatum got hurt on in game one, I don't think that was a bad foul. So I would ask anybody exactly what they're questioning. Maybe, and this was borderline, I thought, last night, Anthony Black, who's been an impressive player. We've said a lot. Magic have two guys.
Yeah.
But then they have like another two half players, I would say.
Maybe.
Anthony Black. Wendell Carter's been good. I'd give him two more half players.
Wendell Carter's not bad.
Maybe they have three total players, Orlando.
Maybe.
If you average it all.
If you
out.
Put those two together.
Yeah. Wagner, good.
Yeah.
Banchero, good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Those other two are like a half player.
That's fine.
Anthony Black chopping at Tatum's wrist? Maybe. I mean, I think if you're out there,
that seemed like targeting.
The guy can't foul you, but then I agree. It seemed like he specifically did it. That was dirty. I mean, I think that was a dirty play. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the league should be ashamed of it or they should kick him out of the league or anything like that. But
it's playoff basketball. Isn't it supposed to be more physical?
Well, yes. And that to me, in the past, when the Celtics have mucked it up with teams, you love it. And now Orlando's doing it to you and you're the hunted team and you're the softer of the two teams. Let's face it. You're the softer team and you want to complain about it and the league should be ashamed of themselves? Come on.
I know there's only so many hours in the day, but if you're watching some of the other series, they're pretty physical too. You know, Lakers, Timberwolves, those guys are going back and forth. Obviously, Knicks and Pistons, as much as that we say that, the Knicks aren't your older brother's Knicks. They're not your uncle's Knicks. They're not as physical as those teams, but they're still, smashing each other around a little bit. So I think it's playoff basketball. And if you're the Magic, it's your only hope to even have competitive games.
On Tatum, what'd you think last night?
Pretty great. Yeah, I thought Tatum was pretty great, and it's one of these things where he always gets debated, and we're going to talk about, some will say, hey, look, he now has more 30-point games in the playoffs than anybody else besides Larry Bird in Celtics history, and then there'll be others that say, well, it's against the Orlando Magic, who shouldn't even be a playoff team, but you're like, I don't know, he was great. They needed him to be great because it was such a close game, and he was great down the stretch, so that was a signature playoff game for Jason Tatum.
So, I mean, he stuck one big jumper. The rest of it was all free throws late. I thought the three free throws he got were questionable. Orlando reviewed it. I thought that was a questionable play.
I thought he got them. So, the Banchero one?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he got them.
But almost all of it was free throws, but that doesn't mean the ball wasn't going through him. And I also thought he was impactful down the stretch when they needed him. Not a lot from the floor, but I thought he was impactful when they needed him down the stretch last night. So a good game for Tatum, a good performance for Tatum coming off the injury earlier in the series. He played well in game three. He hasn't shot it great in either of these two games.
No, he hasn't.
But he played well in game three. The Celtics lost. I was very surprised at that game that, A, their offense vanished like it did in that third quarter. B, the turnovers, which have been an issue for the Celtics in the past, for Tatum and Brown. They had 13 of them combined in game three. How concerning is that loss for you? Does it outweigh the victory last night?
Well, no, you know what I was thinking actually in the game three loss, and not that it's going to play it out the same way, but the 08 team, the way we look up to that 08 team and revere that 08 team, they went seven games against the Hawks, seven games against the Cavs, and then finally six against the Pistons.
The
but
Cavs,
they lost every road game for a while.
The Cavs were a one-player team. And
they
had to go seven against that Cleveland team. Yeah.
And so, we expect more dominance. Last year, they lost three playoff games on their way to a title. But it was one of those things where, there doesn't seem to always be a lot of momentum in playoff series. It's funny, rewatching Celtic City or even watching The Last Dance, when you go back and relive some of these things, you could win or lose a playoff game by 25 points and then come out the next game and win. So I think at the end, we're going to look back and be like, all right, they won in five games. Wasn't a sweep, but they won in five games. They moved on to the next one. So it was a little bit more of that. I was just more surprised. But as soon as you saw that game, then as soon as you got into the fourth quarter and it was 70-something or whatever, you're like, oh, this is kind of a grinded out game advantage Magic, right? Like, that's exactly how they wanted to play it to a T. So I'm a little bit surprised, but I think when, you know, it's all said and done, it's not the end of the world.
Well, it's a good reminder, too, because last year was such a cakewalk. Yep. And, I mean, the Celtics were awesome. The Celtics were dominant. But those were banged up, undermanned teams that the Celtics just overwhelmed. It's a good reminder that that's rare in the NBA playoffs, and that's probably not going to happen again. So some losses are expected. I didn't expect them against this Orlando team. But again, from the text line here, 617-779-7937. Jones, Orlando has the size to be a tough matchup for the Celtics. Even last year and the year prior, they gave them trouble with their size and physicality. True. We talked about this with Terp going into the series. It's one of the few teams the Celtics have struggled with the last few years. One of the few teams Joe Mazzulla has a losing record against since he took over this team. So I dismissed that. I didn't think there was really anything to it. We looked at some of the specific games this year. Tatum was out for a lot of the Orlando games, two of the three. One of them nobody played for the Celtics. I didn't put a lot of stock in that. I was wrong. Orlando's a tougher matchup for the Celtics than I expected.
True. But they just have no offense that I was like, even then, like, all right, even if the games are closed, even if Orlando covers four games, I didn't think they were going to win even a single game. And so I guess, you know, give them a little bit of credit, like, rather than just rolling over and dying, like, you'd be down 2-0 in the series and be like, we're playing the Celtics, we're done. So, like, I give them credit. Like, they're tough. Their coach has them playing hard. And, like, Paolo Banchero, like, these are kind of the moments. These are sort of the stepping stone moments, right, where a lot of guys first make the playoffs as a young guy, get waxed by a really good team, and then you kind of come back the next year and maybe go a little bit further. Like, if they get Jalen Suggs back, they might be a little bit better, like, if he's healthy next year. But they desperately need, like, one more guy. Like, that's the team that needs, if they had like a shooting guard that was 40% from three, 20 points per game, 22 points per game, then you might take them seriously.
Right.
But as it's made up right now, you're like, nah, they just look like they're lacking too much.
They need a shooter and a scorer. I mean, they don't have any of that.
No, they don't.
I mean, Banchero and Wagner do plenty of shooting.
Yes, well, they have to.
But, you know, and they do plenty of scoring, but the efficiency, at least from distance,
Banchero, yes,
is not there for that team.
Do you know how many shots he took?
Okay, so hang on. 30?
32.
Wow, yeah.
Should have taken 42. Like, he's all they have.
Well, they flashed a stat in, like, the second quarter where he was already pushing 20 shots, like, at halftime. It was crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's it. Nobody else wants to shoot. You can't have Caldwell Pope shoot.
No.
Or Carter or Joe. You can't have any of those guys shoot. So, that's what it has to be.
So, the Celtics lead 3-1. They split in Orlando. You know, to me, I was very disappointed in the loss on Friday. It could just be a speed bump on the way to round two. That probably is what it'll be. But you look at this series so far, and I've been a little underwhelmed by how the Celtics have played. I think I certainly expected the Celtics to sweep. I expected the Celtics to dominate. I underestimated Orlando and their physicality. Are you ready to get this team out of your face? Because the longer you play around with this, Keith, if you do feel like some of the texters already, oh, this team is dirty. Oh, the league should be ashamed. Oh, the Magic are playing over the edge. If you do feel that way,
that's too much. But yeah, you want to be done.
Get it over with tomorrow. Like, don't screw around with it any longer and drag it out any longer and give Orlando another shot to take somebody out. I mean, there is an element of that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, I mean, how many of the guys in the Celtics right now would you say are 100%? One? Two? Like, everybody's dealing with something, it feels like.
Yeah, and the starting lineup, like, probably just White. Does he seem fine?
Derek White's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody else is...
He's always a game away from getting, like, a tooth knocked out or something
like
that.
The way he plays, but everybody else is, like... questionable going in, or if they're not even on the injury report, you're like, well, it's Al Horford or Kristaps Porzingis or whatever. So, yeah, they're banged up already. So, yeah, the fewer games, the better.
So we'll get to all your thoughts on this series through four games. Celtics lead 3-1. Seems like we're about to get Celtics and Knicks in round two. All your thoughts on it at 617-779-7937. Do you feel underwhelmed about this series to this point, as I do? And will this series leave a mark physically for the Celtics the way Orlando plays them? And on top of that, X's and O's game plan standpoint, the Magic have been able to frustrate the Celtics, run them off the three-point line. They've combined for 18 threes in the last two games. They're shooting about 30 threes a game, which is way under what they want to do. So can teams exploit that, or is that just a Magic thing? Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the NFL draft, how the Patriots did on night two and day three of the draft. They're getting good grades. Shedeur Sanders sliding in the draft. We have thoughts on that as well, all the way into day three. Now a Cleveland Brown. Mel Kiper melting down.
Oh, man, he had a weekend.
He had a rough go of it. There's no doubt about it. And we'll get to Bill. Speaking of rough weekends.
Oh, man, Mel or Bill?
rougher weekend
who had
for the
a
two?
Weekend?
Ooh.
Probably
Mel. It was Mel.
Oh, you think it was Mel?
I think it was Mel.
I think it might have been Bill.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into this coming up. Bill had a sit down on CBS. Well, Bill and Jordan had a sit down on CBS.
He doesn't do anything by himself anymore. He didn't even coach the team by himself anymore.
Can't even answer questions by himself anymore, for God's sakes.
Nope.
So we'll get to that coming up next hour as well. But we're starting Celtics here on Jones and Keefe. Jason Tatum and his wrist. He's now celebrating that, by the way. I'm sure you've taken note of that.
Uh-huh.
That's his new trademark celebration that he's doing after made threes. He took, I think, some shots at Joe Mazzulla. Is he upset with his head coach? Has he moved past being told to get up by Joe Mazzulla? We'll get to that with all your phone calls.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Just get up. Ain't that what Joe told me? Get up, move on to the next play, protect yourself, and just focus on the game.
That was Tatum after game three. Just get up. Isn't that what Joe told me?
It was a good line.
Interesting little reference there to Joe Mazzulla, clearly Tatum. And I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Since he said in the past, I pay attention to what's said on social media. I want to shut up people on social media, in as many words. He went on his victory tour last year and told us everything we need to know. So
well, there was some talk that, like, oh, maybe he didn't hear him.
No.
He for sure heard him.
Well, whether he heard him or not.
Oh, he knows about it.
Of course.
And he brought it up.
Thank you. He brought it up. No more questions about that.
Yeah.
Tatum's heard the criticisms about Joe telling him to get up. And we can read into that with all your thoughts on the Celtics. We're starting there. We'll get to the draft. We'll get to Mel Kiper and Shedeur Sanders. And we'll definitely get to Bill and Jordan on CBS with all your phone calls. Again, 617-779-7937. I said earlier, Keith, I'm a little underwhelmed by the Celtics. They're up 3-1. I thought they would be more dominant. I don't know if you think that's fair or not, to be underwhelmed by how they've played. You can mix in some losses. I said the same thing about OKC. OKC didn't lose the game, but I'm a little underwhelmed by how the Thunder have played as well. I thought they'd roll against the Grizzlies. They did in game one. It got progressively harder as it went. So I feel like I'm being consistent. I would say the same thing about the Thunder, who I also expected to roll. Some text here at 617-779-7937. Jones, you're a little underwhelmed. They got me shooketh for the rest of the playoffs. They look bad versus a bad team. How are they supposed to beat the Cavs or Oklahoma City? So I would say that, to me, is more of a leap than even I'm willing to go to. I already had questions about OKC, but the Cavs, unless they're going to physically rattle the Celtics, or unless they're going to defend the Celtics the way Orlando is, I'm still not worried about Cleveland. But maybe I'm looking past them like I look past the Magic.
I'm shooketh.
That's a text line. That's
I would go series by series, you know, like going back to 08, you know, when the Celtics won the title that year. Because last year there was no resistance for that title run. They lost three games the entire ride, and most of the time you were going up against a team that their star player wasn't even available. So the Celtics of 08, seven-game grind series. But just because they went seven against the Hawks didn't mean they were going to lose to Kobe and the Lakers, right? Like, if you stack the two up, you'd say, well, my God, seven games versus Atlanta and Mike Bibby? Like, what chance do you have against these good teams?
Well, so in retrospect, we have this with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah.
Do you think in 08 that was good for them?
I mean, it might have been. I mean, they won the title, but in the moment, I remember, like, how are you losing these games? No, this is insane.
No, I'm with you. I said with the benefit, in real time, we were like, this time, is terrible.
So in real time,
they're about
to
get eliminated by Josh Smith in round one.
No, so that was like, you're beside yourself. They'd won 66 games in the regular season, and they would win. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they would blow them out
at home. They would win by a million points at home, and you're like, this is going to be a cakewalk. And then they'd lose two straight in Atlanta. You're like, wait, what? How is this happening? And then as the competition got better, so then they went seven against LeBron. Then they went six against the Pistons, who had won the title a few years earlier. Yeah, and then they went six against the Lakers.
And the Pistons went to the Eastern Conference Finals and the finals. And
they handled those teams better. It was very strange.
It was. But you could with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah.
And Doc said this in the latest Celtic City episode. But I guess he was asked this in like a press conference setting. And going into the playoffs that year when they won 66 games, first year with Garnett and Pierce and everybody. And Doc said, well, yeah, it's been a little too easy.
Yeah.
And then they went out and had to go seven and had to go seven. So, you know, maybe this long term could be a good thing for the Celtics. I don't dismiss that.
Yeah.
Get woken up early, get slapped around early, because they are getting slapped around a little bit, meaning like just physically on the floor. They're up 3-1, but they're getting slapped around a little bit. Maybe that long term could be a good thing.
Possible.
Or maybe it's a sign that this team not ready for the title defense. Also, this text, 617-779-7937. Wow, what a surprise. You thought the Celtics were going to roll, and they're not. That's because they're not as good as you guys think.
What?
Burn.
What? See, I think they are.
Text line's salty.
I think they're good. I think I give the Magic a little bit more credit than I should, or I give them more credit now than I did at the beginning of the series. I think they're kind of mucking it up. They're playing physical. They're getting the Celtics a little bit off their game, if nothing else. I mean, you see Al Horford's reaction to it, but you also just see the sheer number of three-point attempts down. Right? That's not how Mazzulla wants to play the game. He wants, you know, fired up from everybody out there on the court. And it's been a little bit slower to play their style of basketball. So, I mean, that's a lot of that has to do with Orlando.
Two more texts here on that topic, and then I want to play more from Tatum on Friday, because I think the answers from Tatum were very interesting, and I wonder if he's a little upset with Joe, what I wonder.
It's not nothing.
Here we go. Text line. These haven't been basketball games. They have been football games.
Aww. I don't think it's that crazy physical.
What's the worst thing? Just what was the most physical thing that happened? What's the worst thing that happened? Tatum maybe, I don't even think he did, but maybe got dragged to the ground in game one by KCP. I don't even think he did.
No.
I think that was a nothing foul, to be honest.
Like,
and Tatum had a hard foul. That happens. Or a hard fall, rather.
People will say that, and then they'll be like, oh, LeBron never would have survived the 90s.
Exactly.
No, he wouldn't have.
It's like, these are football games now? Like, come on, guys.
It's not physical enough. Now it's too physical.
I thought
KCP tripped Al Horford, I guess. There's that one, which I didn't think was really much of anything either.
I don't think it was much of anything either. Yeah. And me being me and knowing Al Horford and all the little dirty stuff he did, like what he did last night is just classic cheap Al Horford. He's got his full body out of bounds just about.
Oh, dirtiest play might be Horford elbowing Wendell Carter in the face.
So
there's that one.
Well, he did it.
You did have the dude that switch played Porzingis.
Yeah, no, that's it. I'm sorry. Batazzi actually definitely had the dirtiest play. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Horford did the exact – Horford elbowed a guy right in the head too. His head didn't split open like Porzingis, but Horford elbowed a guy right in the face.
No, I don't really get it. Now, I guess this is all different
– They're football games.
All different sides of the fan base, I guess. But on the one hand, you have people that criticize the NBA for not being physical enough.
Yeah.
And now we have a bunch of things like it's too physical.
The Magic are too busy trying to hurt the Celtics. There's a difference between playing hard and purposefully trying to hurt people. So there you go. That's how some of the fans feel about it. Tatum was asked more about this after Game 3, which the Celtics lost in Orlando. I didn't see coming. Maybe you did. Here's what else Tatum had to say about the wrist injury he's been dealing with so far in this series.
You know, I wanted to get up. It was just a lot worse than, you know, Joe thought it was. But, you know, it's cool. We move on and just get ready for the next game.
Okay.
If I'm Joe, I'd be worried. Now, Joe, I don't think gets worried about anything because he's a maniac and probably doesn't have that like in his brain to get worried. But if Joe Mazzulla is ever out of a job, it's going to be because Tatum says so.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, well, that's not a groundbreaking statement because that's superstars in the NBA. They have more say than even the GMs do. In fact, they just go tell the GM and the president what to do, and that's fine. That's sort of how it's been done. But not only did he call out Tatum's toughness flat out in front of everybody, but it got back to Tatum. Whether Tatum, like you said, saw it in real time or not, he's aware of it, and he brought it up multiple times.
Those were different answers.
Those were different answers. What did Joe tell me? Get up, right?
Joe told me to get up? Sure, so I got up.
I guess that's worse than Joe thought.
So that to me is...
So, if I'm Joe, I'd be like, I'd start packing my stuff. I would.
That's an ominous line.
Yeah.
It's a lot worse than Joe thought.
Yeah.
Can I hear that again?
Basically, he's like, if I'm Tatum, I'm like, Joe, you know you're here as long as I want you to be here,
right?
Yeah, right.
You know that, right? I control your fate.
Correct.
You realize that. I know you're a man of faith.
It's not the other way around.
It's not up to the big guy.
No.
It's up to me. let me hear that again.
You know, I wanted to get up. It was just a lot worse than, you know, Joe thought it was. But, you know, it's cool. we move on and you know, just get ready for the next game.
We move on for now.
Totally.
We move on for now.
Totally sounds like he's moved on.
We move on for now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there. I'll put up 37.
Hang on. But do you think he's moved on? That doesn't sound like he's moved on.
No, we move on. No.
Maybe he meant we move on from coaches. Maybe that's what he meant. He's like, I got Brad fired.
We got Brad fired.
He got him promoted.
I didn't get it. No. But the players were done with Brad. Let's not rewrite
this. The players were done with Brad.
They actually couldn't keep Udoka. They all wanted to keep Udoka. They couldn't keep him.
No, they didn't get him fired. No,
Udoka. He got himself fired.
Yeah, he kind of did.
So number one, Tatum's like, yeah, we move on. He hasn't moved on. Number two, it was a lot worse than Joe thought. And three, I wanted to get up. Mm-hmm. So that one's a little much even
He
for
wanted
me.
To.
Yeah, no, he wanted. Couldn't physically get up, of
course.
It
was worse than Joe thought.
I mean, he finished the game.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get up.
No.
But it was worse than Joe thought. So that, I mean, game three, and even this series to a degree, it's like, huh. It's leaving a bit of a mark, and if I'm these other teams, like, I would do what Anthony Black did last night. If I'm the Knicks, chop right across the wrist of Tatum.
Yep.
Whether it's hurt, whether it's not, he doesn't seem to like it, and he hasn't moved past it. So I'm leaning in on all this stuff that I'm seeing from Orlando. I don't know that other teams can.
Yeah.
This might be a simple matchup. The Celtics have struggled with this matchup in the past. I dismissed it. I was wrong. But I think now it's pretty clear, being laid bare, the Magic aren't good enough to take advantage of it.
No.
Maybe the Knicks are. Mm. Maybe Cleveland is. Maybe OKC is. But whoever I am, I'm taking notes of this for sure.
I think they're going to try to do it. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Maybe Cleveland has a better chance than the Knicks. I don't think New York can do it. I mean, they'll probably try, but they actually probably rely a little bit more on finesse than you would think just based on the uniform, right? That's not really... That's not really their game to really kind of make it ugly.
And even the head coach over there, you're like, they should be a physical team, but
they're kind of not.
They're not.
And like, they might think that they can out-skill you, and they'd be wrong. Whereas maybe Cleveland's the team that can sort of combine the two.
This bothers me.
What do you got?
Why do you guys, why do you say he hasn't moved on when all he's doing is answering a question somebody posed to him? He got asked about the wrist injury.
He brought up Joe Mazzulla twice, unprompted. He didn't ask about Joe's reaction.
He didn't get asked about the video.
Right.
He got asked about the wrist injury. So
he brought up Joe specifically twice.
He did that. Yeah, we didn't do that. He wasn't asked about that.
No.
He did that.
Yeah, right.
617-779-7937. One more text here. We'll get to the phones. Guys, this is Boston. If people are complaining about it being too physical, they can get the F out.
Whoa.
Ouch.
Hey.
I mean, I kind of agree with it.
It is tough. Like, you can't on the one hand root for Mikhail Parrish and Mikhail loving clotheslines and punching guys in the face. And now it's like, oh, my God, the Magic are trying to hurt the Celtics.
I mean...
And I don't even know if they are.
This would be, I don't think they are.
It doesn't seem
Batazzi
like.
Again. That one for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was no worse than what Horford did, for God's sakes. The C's should match their physicality and their toughness. That's the text line. Let's get some of these phone calls here. Chris is in Hingham. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Yeah, just wanted to touch on what Stan Van Gundy was discussing during the broadcast last night about how much their starters had missed games during the year. I think it was in... somewhere in the 150-plus games that their starters had missed over the course of the year, and they were the most healthy that they had been all season. So I feel like they're a much better team than what their regular season dictated, and they're just playing up to their potential more so against the Celtics.
I'm sorry.
He's saying the Magic are healthy.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about the Celtics.
No.
They're out Jalen Suggs, who's probably their third-best player.
I agree with this. Like, I... it's good that they got Banchero back and he missed a bunch of time. Wagner missed some time in there as well.
Nope.
So from that standpoint, they're healthy. But
yeah, they're flying Wagner's out.
Yeah, and they're down Suggs, which honestly, like, the Celtics are down Holiday right now. They lost Tatum. Like, yeah. All of that feels like a wash to me. But his point is the Magic are better than their 41-41 record.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And yeah, they might be.
Yeah, no, that could be fair. But I think when you still break it down, they're last in 3 points or three-pointers, right? So that's sort of the big difference between them and the Celtics. And they only have two scoring options, right? So when you look at this team right now, whether those guys played together all year, do they get to 45 wins? Do they get to 48 wins? I don't know. Maybe. They're still not a 61-win caliber team. They might be – if they played out the whole season, they're, what, the 7th seed right now? So maybe they'd be the 5. They'd be playing the – something like that. Like right. They're still not – you know, like, oh, my God, you're getting these guys healthy now. It's not like Banchero missed the entire season and then he's back.
Maybe they're a little better than we thought, and they're a peskier first-round matchup than we expected.
That
was hidden because they were dinged up. I mean, it's not some wagon they're getting in round one, so it's not completely relitigated. But I'll grant you that point. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the draft. How do you feel about what the Patriots did at 11 o'clock? Some nice picks on day two. Some nice picks on day three. Does it outweigh a questionable pick on day one? We'll get to that, along with the slide of Shedeur Sanders, Mel Kiper, his meltdown.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, Bill Belichick on CBS. But more here on the Celtics. Has the Magic physicality exposed them to a degree? We'll get to that next.
I don't know. It might be a fight breakout or something, because it's starting to feel like, you know, it's not even basketball, and the refs is not controlling the environment. So it is what it is. If we want to fight it, we want to fight it out, we can do that. We can fight to see you go to the second round.
Jaylen Brown after game three. Feels more like a fight out there than anything else. Mm-hmm. They want to fight, we'll fight.
Okay.
Celtics didn't quite do that last night, but again, they're agitated. The Magic are under their skin. Yeah. That's the way you put it earlier. I think that's the best way to put it. The Magic are under their skin.
Yeah, KCP and Wendell Carter, like two guys that you shouldn't even care. Like you should have no even real feeling towards either one of them, and yet they are bothered.
Horford got in Wendell Carter's face last night when Wendell Carter maybe hip-checked, maybe.
I mean, that was nothing.
Derek White to the ground. I agree. That is nothing.
He's just a lot bigger than Derek White, but that wasn't.
Well, and I don't think Derek White flopped, but I do think White tried to sell the foul a little bit. I don't think it was a flop. I mean, I think he would have got knocked to the floor either way, but I think he kind of tried to sell it. Horford maybe reacted to that. And so Horford snapped a couple of different times on this team. They're clearly bothering him. And you can say, good for him. He's sticking up for his teammates. If you want to say that, fine. Mm-hmm. But he feels the need to stand up for his guys on what I think are pretty benign, nothing fouls.
I think I found my thing that I love the NBA, right? The thing I hate the most about the NBA, out of all of it, is the obviously not a flagrant, let's review to see if it's a flagrant.
Dude,
I think that's my least favorite thing in the world.
That was such a waste of time last night.
Because I'm not like anti-instant replay, but I understand that replay does drag it down, and there's too many replays, and certainly in a basketball game where just the nature of a close basketball game, it's going to be slowed down with all the fouls and the free throws and everything. But then when you add replay, it drags out even longer. And then when you add the unnecessary replay, holy mackerel.
Well,
so now we get to watch that same foul, a common foul. We get to watch it 10 different times.
Yeah.
And then the ref goes to the microphone. He's like, oh, yeah, there was contact, but it wasn't malicious. And here's we're like, thank God. Well, thank God. I want my 5 minutes back, but thank God.
I also don't get what takes so long for them to get to the microphone in the first place.
God,
like, half the time, I'm like, oh, great, they're getting to the microphone. The review's in. No.
No.
They're just letting you know they're reviewing.
Guys, we're going to take a look. Yeah. You should have already looked at it. It should be done.
What have you been doing for the last 2 minutes?
Guys, just want to let everybody know in the building, we are going to take a look at that.
Yeah, got it. Just go review it and let us know what comes back.
I like how they call out the player names instead of numbers. Like, when they say fouls, like foul on number 10.
Yeah.
They don't say, like, we're reviewing the Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Remember that one guy that was saying that?
It was
like,
KCP.
One of the refs called him KCP.
But the ref in like game one or two said Kentavious Caldwell Pope, and the announcers were like, you could say KCP.
I'm like,
speed up a little bit, dude.
I'm like, dude.
They all turn into Ed Hockley when they're out there. Like, let's move on.
The refs
on.
Are now doing nicknames out there. And so, look, Jaylen says, look, they want to fight, we'll fight.
Yeah, fight them.
And I don't know. The Celtics don't feel like a fighting team to me.
No, just outshoot them and move on.
But they've been agitated, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Let's go up to, well, I was going to say Maine, but who
Could
really
be anywhere.
Knows? Who really knows?
He's on the road.
It's Neil in the van. What's up, Neil?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm up in Maine. I'm in Brunswick, Maine today.
Nice.
So, hey, you know, I'm going to try my the playoffs for the Red Sox. I'm going to try to hit up and call you on 100 different towns.
Love it. Okay, great. We'll get like a little map for Neil and put a pin in it.
Yes.
For everywhere he's going. Maybe we could do that.
Honestly, follow Neil.
Might be good for the authorities. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Yes.
There is a New England.
I'm calling about the Tatum thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there was anything wrong with what Joe said to him. He said he was get up. That's fine. No way, shape, or form have you ever hurt your arm and not been able to stand up. They knew that.
But, I mean, I don't know if that's entirely true.
They were going to try to play hard. They were going to try to. That's the only way everybody knew Magic could stay into that series.
Yeah, so look.
I live in a van down by the river.
We heard this when it first happened. There was a lot of people that are super tough that were like, oh, you hurt your wrist. You should be able to like jump up and run around. It's like, well, sometimes when you get hurt and it's not your legs, you might want to take a minute
Jalen dislocated his finger in game three and he was up a million times quicker than so if you don't get right up, that's fine.
You don't have to get right up.
But when you're lying on the ground for minutes at a time, it is time to get up. Even Joe Mazzulla was like, get your ass
but
up.
To Neil's kind of point, what Joe Mazzulla said sort of in a vacuum may not be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were a lot of people at home screaming it, people in the stands screaming it too. But you're the head coach. In a league where the players can be pretty sensitive to things, to the point where several days later, he references it twice at a press conference, Mazzulla might just want to be on notice, is all I'll say.
Yeah.
He might have been right. You might feel you agree with him, but you're not going to lose your job for agreeing with him.
I do agree with him.
He might lose his job for saying it.
I bet right now he's sweating it out.
He's
that
like,
Tatum is referencing this.
Yeah.
Like it was a lot worse than Joe thought,
yeah.
And I wanted to get up, but I couldn't. And, oh, by the way, I've moved past it when he totally hasn't.
He is not.
I would not love any of that.
Correct.
If I were Joe Mazzulla. Your repeat won't matter. But if you don't, if you continue to have problems, I think the Celtics have had issues in this series. They're going to win the series,
obviously.
You say
it's not a problem. I disagree. I think it will be.
What?
The
Mazzulla-Tatum thing.
Yes.
If they win.
They win a title. Tatum's like, yeah, live it up now, Joe.
Oh, well,
live
sure.
it up now!
No, right.
Next sign of anything, still on the list.
No, I just mean he survives and gets another year is all I mean. No, Tatum's not going to forget about this. Huh? This will be something that he back pockets for sure. I'm 100% with you on that.
That's on there,
no doubt about it. A couple of texts here, guys. I didn't realize the Celtics were trailing 3-1 as opposed to up 3-1.
They're up 3-1. They're going to win in five.
That's fine. They're up 3-1. They're going to win the series and they're going to advance. And they'll probably have an easier time with New York than they have with Orlando. But can we all admit it's not quite what we expect? This has been a peskier, more annoying series than we all expected. The Celtics have been underwhelming. They're not down 3-1. I get it. They're up 3-1. But it's been a little underwhelming. If you can't acknowledge that, then I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Stay in your safe space on the text line. But like that is, I think, the reality of how the Celtics have gone. And I, again, would say the exact same thing about OKC. They were underwhelming and they swept.
I like the fourth text down.
Oh, what's that now?
Fifth text. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's a good point. Now, I think we should do a map of Neil.
Neil map.
The guy is drunk.
No, he's not. He's driving around.
Like a flat Stanley.
Now,
he just sent pictures in.
No, we don't need pictures. He just tells us the town, and then we'll throw a little pin in there.
We throw a pin on the map. What do we need a map
in
New England?
He's going to call 100 times?
Yeah, I'm not ruling that out. Okay. So we need a map of New England? Do we need to broaden this a little bit?
No, just New England. And let's keep it local.
You were saying maybe focus.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this map.
Or southern New England.
There might be a serial killer in New England.
I have seen this in the news.
So there's been a lot of bodies found.
Eight.
Three, I think, in Massachusetts. Springfield, most recent. Framingham and Plymouth.
Uh-huh.
There's like four, I think, in Connecticut and one in Rhode Island. So they're staying out of the Granite State right now. But coincidence? Are these all independent killings or is it a serial killer? Serial killer. There hasn't really been a lot of serial killers, I feel like, in modern day.
No.
I mean, you have the psychopath, like the one-offs, but I'm talking about like the 70s and 80s, like the one, like,
yeah, where it's going on,
like
for
the glorified, like, oh, this guy's got 20 people all up and down the state.
Right. And if they ever catch this individual, if there is such an individual on the loose, they would sound a lot like the Celtics head coach.
Maybe.
... For now.
For now.
Yeah. He's a Celtics head coach for now.
617-779-7937.
You can jump in on the Celtics up 3-1, though at times it does feel like they're trailing 3-1 against Orlando.
No, it does not.
We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. And let's get to the NFL draft days 2 and 3. We spent a lot of time on Will Campbell on Friday. I know not everybody got to get to that. So we spent a lot of time on that on Friday. But let's get to the Patriots draft and how we feel about what they eventually got around to. Some pretty impressive picks and some very good grades for the Pats. We'll do it next.